Greetings, everybody. I know it's been a very long time since we had a good lecture today. It's around weeks probably since we had a good lecture or a good discussion. But I'm back with a very important session, and it's going to help you in various aspects of concepts concerned to rheumatology, immunity, and anti-immunity. Right. So let's start with it. So I'm going to start with the basic immunity thing, what it is about. That is innate immunity and acquired immunity. Okay, innate immunity is by birth, which is non-specific, and it happens without the sensitization of antigen. It has no memory, no amplification, but the response is quick and immediate. This is something important, and that's why it is more important. It has quick and immediate response. Acquired is adaptive. It is antigen specific. It needs sensitization, it needs antigen memory, as well as amplified response. But it is a delayed response, it needs time, all right? So what are the basic components of innate immunity we'll talk about? That is anatomical barrier, MALT, phagocytic cells, dendritic cells, and all that stuff, right? So the first one is anatomical barrier gifted to us by the grace of God. That is skin, epithelia, HCL, and fluids, tears, saliva, all these fluids which are present in our body, they are full of lytic and exolytic enzymes, which helps in the entry of, which helps the in prevention of the entry of bacteria into our mucosa. That is saliva, HCL, other secretions of GIT and all. So that's the thing. Apart from which, we have MALT. That is mucosa-associated lymphoid tissue, phagocytic cells, neutrophils and monocyte, dendritic cells, NK cells, complement system, and PRR, that is pattern recognition receptors, right? These are pattern recognition receptors are just the basic workers of this particular system. And if we talk about acquired adaptive system, it is all about lymphocytic cells, plasma cells, and antibodies. Now let me tell you one thing, this acquired or this adaptive immunity system, it is fully dependent on innate immunity, because even if T cells want to work or B cells want to work, they need an antigen presenting cells like dendritic cells or NK cells, all right? And they that's why it is something a combined effort. But in the acquired immunity, the main role is played by these lymphocytes, plasma cells, and antibodies, but they are literally incomplete without the components of innate immunity. How it is happening, we're going to discuss very soon. All right, this session, let me tell you, this session is going to be a bit long today because I'm going to discuss various aspects. All right, so keep yourself prepared. So firstly, when it is innate immunity, there is no lag. And let me introduce you with the different components of innate immunity. First is natural killer cells or NK cell. All right, it is they are present in 10 to 15% of amount. The most abundant cells are T cells, 60 to 70%, followed by B cells. That is 10 to 15%. All right, they are derived from large granular lymphocytes. And that's why they have a granular cytoplasm and with the markers of CD16 and 56. Like for my Hindi viewers, it is a small mnemonic, that is Sola Chappan, a sort of a rhyming mnemonic, that is Ab Tak Chappan, Sola Chappan. Okay, out of which CD16 is a Fc receptor of IgG. It is a Fc receptor of IgG. That means it binds the Fc terminal of IgG. What is Fc terminal going to do with that? We're going to see in couple of seconds. Other marker is CD56, that is NCAM, that is cell adhesion molecule. Now what it is going to do? Now let me tell you one thing, there is an antigen of, for example, bacteria or something that binds to the IgG antibody at Fab zone, and the Fc zone of IgG antibody is free. This Fc zone is going to bind to NK cells, and if this binding is successful, NK cells creates destroying of this antigen or the pathogen, all right, by which mechanism? By a perforin granzyme mechanism. That is what does it mean? Is it is going to release perforins and granzymes, which are going to come in contact with this antigen or bacteria or pathogen, whatever it is, and creates holes in the membrane. All right. So this is the way, this is the first way, which is called as ADCC. All right. That is antigen dependent cytotoxic cells or cytotoxic killing. Now let's talk about the other component, that is NK cells are primarily responsible for viruses and cancers, right? Like for example, we know if a cancer is going to come into our body, or if cancer takes place in a body, it's going to be a self antigen, right? It's going to be a self antigen. So how come cancers are being stopped in our body? So that's the work of the master stroke, that is innate immunity. What happens is the body, every cell of our body has a presentation of class 1 MHC molecule, and this is a sort of identity card. Whenever you are in exposure to NK cells, this MHC molecule should be presented on your cell surface. If it is not expressed on your cell surface, you will be termed as abnormal cell, and you will be straight away taken to the destroying pathway, right? So everybody cells. So what happens is, in virus infected cells as well as in tumor infected cells or in tumor invaded cells or tumor cells, what happens is these particular representation is absent, and if this representation is absent, they are unable to inhibit the NK cells, and in turn NK cells kills them and hence prevents this viral infection as well as other cancers. All right, so this presentation of class 1 MHC molecules is called as MHC non-restriction. All right, this is called as, this phenomena is called as MHC non-restrictions. All right, that's the thing. So now let's talk about pattern recognition receptors. These are a component of innate immunity called as PRR. All right, so they are not the specific things, but they respond to some of the ambiguous or the different codes of the antigens, right? So there are two different types of receptors in our body catching two different types of patterns. One is pathogen associated molecular pattern, other is damage associated molecular pattern. All right, how it is going to help is, like if I take out necrotic cell, what is going to happen, for example, if a cell went for the cell cycle, a cell injury happened and cell is lysed. After the cell membrane lysis happens, the content of cell will come out, the membranes and the different contents of cell will come out. These will bind to the NAMP receptors, and where these NAMP receptors are present, these NAMP receptors are present on macrophages, all right, or other phagocytic cells, which will further clear off all this mess. Other is PAM, that is pathogen associated molecular receptor, that is they are majorly for microbial component. All right, so all these are recognized by PRR. Where are PRR present now? They can be present inside a vesicle, on the surface of cell, and they can be present inside cytoplasm also. So they are like God everywhere. All right, so let's move ahead. What are the types or classes of PRR? There are different classes, and it's something to cram. Let's talk about it. There's TLR, NLR, CLR, MANOS, and Rigley receptors. Now CLR is important for fungus, MANOS binding receptors are for bacteria, and Rig-like receptors are for virus. TLR, NLR are basically non-specific things. What are these non-specific things we'll talk about? Where is TLR? TLR is present on cell membrane. It is present on cell membrane. The structure resembles to toll receptor of a Drosophila. That's why they are called toll-like receptors. So what will happen? These receptors, as they come in contact with any sort of antigen, they increase expression of adhesion molecules on leukocyte. All right. And how come this happens? When these are stimulated, they stimulate nuclear factor kappa beta. All right. They stimulate nuclear factor kappa beta. On further transcription, these molecules are secreted. And apart from which, increase interferon gamma also takes place. As these interferon gamma secretions will secretion to the environment will take place, it will recruit the macrophages. Macrophages are just filiacs of, or the maniacs of interferon gamma. Wherever interferon gamma will be secreted, they'll be there only. All right, so this creates a particular cycle, and macrophages come over there and they clear all this mess. of this particular recognition happen to this particular antigen. So what are the different spectrums TLR can recognize? So let's talk about, there are different receptors and ligands. That is, we'll talk about some important ones. The one is TLR2, T for 2, T for TB, and T for gram positive. All right, I know it sounds a bit cranky, but yeah, this is the way it's gonna be. That is T for 2, T for TB, and T for positive, gram positive. Yes. The third one is 3 stands for 3. DNA has 3 alphabets and RNA has 3 alphabets. So 3 will recognize DNA and RNA viruses. 4 stands for gram negative. Alright, the 4 stands for gram negative. Then F for 5, F for flagella. Alright, and the other one is 9, TLR9, which is for protozoa. Like if you see, 9 is just a mirror image of P. So TLR9 is P for protozoa. I hope I'm clear. Now let's talk about knot-like receptors. We had something, description about knot-like receptors. Like these are NLR, knot-like receptors. Now what are they? They actually are very helpful in a sort of cell damage procedure. They are present in cytoplasm. And what are they going to do? They recognize a necrotic cell. And how come they're going to recognize the necrotic cells? As the cells are necrotized, they are lysed, they release uric acid. All right. And they release K plus. As such as uric acid released and K plus is released, so the concentration decreases. As the concentration decreases, this activates NLR, knot-like receptors in cytoplasm, which activates caspase 1 and 11, which will activate interleukin 1, causing fever and inflammation and cell lysis. This procedure is particularly called pyroptosis. All right. So it's all about the game of 1, caspase 1, caspase 11, and interleukin 1. All right. So if these knot-like receptors, if they gain a functional mutation, gain a functional mutation, that is, their role is more of exaggerated from the normal level or normal limit. So what is going to happen? Periodic fever syndrome, they can cause gout, they can cause obesity associated type 2 diabetes mellitus. All right, that's the thing. Now let's talk about adaptive mediated immunity. There are two components. The first component is cell mediated, that is purely by cytotoxic T cells, and the other one is humoral type is, that is dependent on innate immunity. Humoral type is totally dependent on innate immunity, and how come it's going to be dependent, we'll talk about very soon. It is protective against extracellular microbes, the humoral one. In the cell mediated, it is protective against intracellular. Okay, and the cell mediated, it is controlled by cytotoxic T cells, and humoral by B cells and antibodies. Now T cells, T helper cells are simply helping. They are not directly involved in any sort of mechanism. So that's why they are called as helper, and they belong to both of the categories or none categories, or none of them. Now first let's talk about antibody mediated killing. All right, antibody mediated killing. So the first thing we have seen, the first phenomena, that is ADCC, we have already seen. And which cells is responsible for ADCC? That is NK cells. Now there are two other methods also. The one is complement fixation and the other one is opsonization. Alright, the one is complement fixation and other is the opsonization. Now when we talk about, and we know the antibody mediated killing is a part of adaptive killing, so it will take time to come. Now the first one is complement fixation. How it is going to happen? The antigen will bind to the antibodies. As antigen bind to antibodies, the most potent to cause these are IgM, IgG, and IgA. And where this IgM is the strongest complement fixator. It is the strongest complement fixator out of all. So what it is going to do is, as soon as it binds to the antigen, it binds to the complement system as well. Binding to which activates the complement cascade. And as the complement cascade activates, the membrane attack complex is formed. And what is membrane attack complex? Abbreviated as C5C9. That is C5, C6, C7, C8, C9. Alright. This MAC also secretes perforin and granzyme, which causes the lysis of antigen or lysis of cell. alright, or lysis of pathogen. This particular complement fixation response from the body takes 7 to 10 days. Now the other response is opsonization and phagocytosis. What it is going to do is, it takes a more time, it takes 10 to 14 days, and what happens is, there is a pathogen to which antibody binds, alright. And as antibody binds, it is very easy for the phagocytic cells to recognize them. And it is said that, having said that, to make it easy, it makes phagocytosis easy, the first thing. And the second thing, it makes phagocytosis tasty. And this opsonization or phagocytosis for the capsulated, it is mainly for the capsulated ones, right? So how it is going to happen, the IgG is going to bind to the pathogens, capsulated pathogens. Then what's going to happen, it will bind to the neutrophils, all right and what will happen, the neutrophils or the macrophages will digest the particular cells by the lytic enzymes. Now there is a clinical implication. What happens is, like, as spleen is a organ which is important for production of antibodies, what is going to happen is, the if in the patients of splenectomy, IgG production is decreased. Alright, in fact every antibodies are decreased, and therefore IgG production takes a lot of time. But IgG is very important to control the capsular bacteria, alright, because IgG is the one which binds to the capsular pathogen and activates this phagocytosis by opsonization. So, but when spleen is gone, IgG amount will decrease. As the amount of IgG decreases, it causes the rise in infections of capsular bacteria. That's why in a splenectomy patient, capsular pathogens vaccine is recommended. All right. Now it was something about antibody. Now let's talk about the second component, that is B lymphocytes or B cells. There are two types of B lymphocytes. One is T cell independent, other is T cell dependent. Okay. So what is T cell independent? There are different antigens for both of them. So in what happens in T cell dependent, the T cell dependent, they need T cell to activate. All right, they need T cell to activate. And in T cell independent, they directly get stimulated. And what is the difference? The difference is just of a antigen. In the proteinaceous antigen, they need T cell. But if it is polysaccharides or lipids, they don't need T cell. They can do it automatically. So what happens is, on a B cell receptor, they bind. Okay, and what's the way, the important B cell receptor antigens, or the important B cell receptors are made up of IgM or IgD, IgM or IgD, all right. Apart from which, it carries a CD79 molecule, CD40 ligand also, or CD40 receptor, and these functions will help us in later functions we are going to discuss. Let's talk about B cell functions. Now how B cell functions are going to take place. As B cells is activated, they secrete plasma cells, and these plasma cells are formed, and it goes into two particular ways. One, out of these plasma cells, some of them migrate to form a memory cell, another forms IgM. IgM is the first antibody, but it is to be modulated with respect to the infection we are having. So if it is a capsular or a chronic infection, it will convert into IgD. If it is a mucosal infection, it will convert to IgA. If it is an allergic response, it will convert to IgE. So there are different sort of class switching. But this class switching is helpful with the help of the only thing, that is CD40 ligand. Without CD40, there can be no class switching. So in such sort of disorder, what are we going to see? There will be no other antibodies, but just IgM, increased IgM. All right. So that's the thing. Now let's talk about T cells. T cells are of two types. That is helper T cells and killer T cells. There are other types of T cells also. We have talked about, that is NK cell and regulatory cells. Now T cell receptors. What are they constituting? They consist of CD molecule, that is CD4 or CD8, defining their function. For CD4, it is T helper cell, and for CD8, it is like killer cell. And to recognize it, it is a rule of 8. So, what it is the rule of 8, we'll talk in a while. Alright, so let's talk about are the receptors. T cell receptor consists of alpha and beta domain in maximum cases. All right, and apart from which, they consist of a CD molecule, a cluster differentiation molecule, and a co-stimulatory molecule. What is a co-stimulatory molecule? We're going to discuss in a few times. I can understand there are many of the things I'm trying to say we'll discuss in a later time, but yes, if I'll start discussing it here only, it's going to be very much boring thing for you guys. All right, so let's talk about antigen presenting cells. Now if we talk about antigen presenting cells, there are two types of antigen presenting cells. The one is professional, other ones are non-professional or less professional. So the professional antigen presenting cells, they express both MHC molecule, MHC1 and MHC2, but non-professional, they just express MHC1 with low presentation of MHC2. It is not like that they don't present MHC2, they present low amount of MHC2. And all other cells in our body, all nucleotide cells and platelets, they represent MHC1. And MHC2 is generally for antigen presenting cells, mostly for the professional ones, right? So what are the professional ones which are remembered, which are important to remember? That is dendritic cells, Langerhans cells. Langerhans cells are seen where? Langerhans cells are the antigen presenting cells. Langerhans cells are giant cells, or giant cells seen in the granuloma of TB. All right. Mucosal cells, that is M cells and macrophages, as well as B cells. All these are antigen presenting cells. So MHC1, MHC2. Let's talk about just a few words. That is MHC1, MHC2. They are generally the origin of six chromosome 6p, presenting of such cluster of genes present on 6p. MHC1 consists of gene pattern A, B, and C, and MHC2 consists of DP, DQ, DR. MHC1 just generally identifies intracellular things, and MHC2 generally identifies extracellular. And MHC1 is for CD8, MHC2 is for CD4. That was the rule of two I was talking about. Like CD4 is for MHC2. Like if so, CD4 and MHC2, if you multiply both, you'll get 8. And CD8 is for MHC1. So if you multiply both, you'll get 8. That's why it's called rule of 8. And that's why CD8 cells are called MHC1 restricted, and CD4 cells are called MHC2 restricted. All right. So that is about MHC expressions, and with the small descriptions of antigen presenting cells. Now let's talk about type of T helper cells. When we talk about T helper cells, the more important thing is there are different types of T helper cells. Importantly, T helper 1, T helper 2, and T helper 17. All right, for T helper 1, we need an intracellular antigen as well as a chronic antigen. I was just having a sip of water. So chronic antigen or a intracellular antigen for that, as soon as it comes in contact with T helper cells, it's going to release cytokines, that is APC, by cytokines of APC, that is interferon gamma and interleukin 2, which activates T helper 1, which releases interleukin 2 and interferon gamma, which activates macrophages. Apart from which, interleukin 2 activates CD8 cells also, and T helper 1 also. Why it is a requirement of CD8 cells? For the killing. For killing, we need CD8 cells. Now, if it is an allergen or a parasite, what are we going to do? For allergen or a parasite, what are we going to do? For allergen or a parasite, T helper 2 cells are secreted. And how come T helper 2 cells are secreted? As antigen presenting cell binds with T cell. Alright, as they are binding together, the antigen presenting cells releases some cytokines, as it was releasing in T helper 1. So the cytokines are interleukin 4. Causing secretion of T helper 2 cells, activation of T helper 2 cells, which in further secretes interleukin 4, 5, and 13. What is interleukin 4 going to do? It will cause B cell stimulation or B cell secretion, alright, which will cause class switching. Interleukin 5 will cause eosinophil secretion, and interleukin 13 will increase the mucin production. Now let's talk about extracellular bacteria and fungus. So what the antigen presenting cell is going to produce, that is TGF-beta, interleukin-6, interleukin-1 and interleukin-23. And as these are secreted in contact with T helper 17, interleukin-17 and interleukin-22 are secreted. What are they going to do? They are going to increase neutrophils and monocytes. So if it let us talk about the two important things, like this antigen presenting cells with the help of T cells are secreting the digesting cells only, like for example eosinophils and by T helper 2, T helper 1 secreting macrophages and T helper 17 secreting neutrophils and monocytes, right? So now if it is killer or cytotoxic T cells, it is CD8 cells. It secretes perforin and granzyme. Okay, it secretes perforin and granzyme. As it secretes perforin and granzyme, it causes intracellular antigen. Okay, a recognition of self and also killer cells are responsible for recognition of self and non-self antigen via MHC one molecule. Alright, so that is particular thing. Now what was the co-stimulatory signal I was talking about? That is CD28 is a co-stimulatory signal which binds to which binds to B7 of the APC. Alright, that is co-stimulatory molecule. Now let us move ahead, that is antigen processing. Antigen processing firstly happens to CD8 T cells. Okay, it happens to CD8 T cells. Okay, and if it is recognized, MHC2 is inhibited. Okay, if it is like no, what I mean is, if it is recognized as self antigen, MHC2 is not going to act. But if it is recognized as non-self antigen, MHC2 expression takes place. And as MHC2 expression takes place, it will bind to CD4s or T helper cells. Alright. And we already discussed how T helper cells are going to differentiate. Alright. Now we'll talk about class switching. What happens is class switching, the CD4 T cells causes antigen sensitization to the B cell receptors, that is IgM and IgD receptors. As this class antigen sensitization takes place with the interaction of CD40 ligands, different cells are produced, that is IgM plasma cells, IgG plasma cells, IgA plasma cells and IgE plasma cells. Class switching develops after 6 months of life. Okay, that means IgM, that's the only thing newborn will be having. So how come IgG will be present in a newborn? That is because of placental transfer. Alright, the IgG2 are the most important IgGs to transfer via placenta. So that's why there are different antibodies present in a newborn. So this is how the immunity works. Now I have few important points, not important but something declarative points. When this APC binds to T cell, T helper cells, when it binds to T helper cells, it needs three important binding. That is binding of MHC2 with T cells, as well as CD40 ligand. How come CD40 ligand will help? It is only going to help if the structure is of B cell. All right, if it is a B cell structure. All right, causing the class switching. And the third one is B7CD28, alright, the B7CD28, which forms the co-stimulatory signal. B7CD28 is a co-stimulatory signal. It's just like a gear of a car box. Without gear, a car will not move. So the car can be ignited, the car can be turned on with a key, that is the first interaction between T cells and antigen presenting cells. But the second and third, especially the second pathway, that is B7 and CD28, is a co-stimulatory signal, which is important. As it will take in T helper 1 cells, it will cause interferon gamma and macrophage activation. In T helper 2 cells, we already saw B cells and plasma cells will be secreted, causing IgG and other antibodies to be secreting. Alright, so that's why this is the way it's going to be. So it depends on T helper cell, which T helper cell is going to be. But when antigen presenting cell binds with killer T cells or cytotoxic T cells, there are simple two steps going to take place. The first step is the MHC1 and T cell receptor. Second step is B7 with CD28 molecule. As B7 CD28 molecule are binding, the co-stimulatory signal completes. As the co-stimulatory signal completes, the CAR is in a gear mode, and which activates T cell ultimately to work and secrete perforins and granzymes. So what the important thing is, in which particular conditions this co-stimulatory signals could be absent. If it is a immunodeficiency cases, like how come it is implicated? Like for example, if in a allergic condition, if any sort of if a patient is allergic to suppose pollens, and these antigen presenting cells now are in contact with T cells, so if this B7 and CD28 binding will not take place, the further response will not take place, causing energy, that is ANERGY, energy response or no response or non-visible response in the patient. And if it is stimulated, it causes stimulation of T cells, causing perforin granzyme lysis. All right, so this was a basic thing. I know it was a bit exhaustive and more of a non-orienting thing, but if you have your notes with yourself, you can easily relate the things, because most of the things are present in our notes only. I have missed have one or two points, but it was important to discuss the mechanism first, because other things can be cramped. And good luck to everybody. It was a great but a little bit boring, but on the parallel side, very important discussion regarding immunity. Thank you very much. Thanks a lot.